Hello, Tom Brady. How are you?
Hi, guys. Good morning.
Good. I know the unanimous feeling among coaches and players across the National Football League is a win is a win is a win. Why do players and coaches say there is no such thing as a disappointing victory, yet fans don't tend to buy into that philosophy, Tom? What do you guys know that the fans don't?
Well, I tell you, when you look on the other, we knew what we were preparing for, you know. I think when you look on the other side of the ball and you realize the kind of talented players that the other team has, you know, anybody can make those plays to win games on a weekly basis. And I think that's, you know, you watch yesterday and, you know, the Cowboys are 0-2 and Houston's 2-0 and that game's not very close.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, you really never know. You really never know. And, you know, I don't think you go into any of these games thinking, oh, man, this one's just going to be a breeze. You know, I think there's things that you say, okay, well, you know, there's maybe a little margin for error when you play certain teams.
Right.
But at the same time, you know, if you don't play well, you're going to lose the game. I mean, it doesn't matter who's guarding you. If you drop back and you can't hit a pass, you know, it could be Deion Sanders out there covering him, or it could be, you know, John Dennis out there covering him. Ain't going to matter. So, I mean, at the same point, you got to go out there and make the plays that are there to be made. And I think, you know, at times we did that yesterday. You know, and on offense, I think there's times where we didn't really do that. And I think that was evidenced by, you know, just the ups and downs a little bit about what we were doing.
Tom, is it fair to say that how you as a team played against Cincinnati really didn't pertain to how you would play against the Jets, and how you played against the Jets had very little to do with how you performed against the Bills yesterday?
Yeah, no question. And I, you know, I said yesterday after the game, you know, it's as you, these games end, and then really you just, you watch the film, and then you move on. And you don't, I'm telling you, you can't sit here and think, man, God, I wish we won by, you know, 2 touchdowns last week. Or I mean, it just doesn't matter. I mean, the reality is, you know, now the clock's starting on Miami.
Mm.
And in all the preparation that we put into Buffalo and their scheme, yeah, certainly is good because, you know, you got another 3 weeks of practice, 3 days of practice, as well as another 60 plays of experience for, you know, some players that need some experience. But, you know, all the schematical things have completely changed, and now it's a race to the next week. So who can be more prepared for this coming game, and then ultimately who can come out and play better on next Sunday? And that's the team that's going to win the game, not the team that had the 3-game winning streak going in, or the 2-game winning streak, or none of that really makes any difference at all.
Hey, obviously, Tom, the defense is young. I believe the youngest secondary in the NFL. It's a defense in transition, as John likes to say. The offense is not. It's a complete deal here. I mean, you guys, many of the same guys back from in the last 3 years. Do you feel like the offense is good enough to carry the young defense until they round into form?
Well, I think, you know, the defense, I'd say the defense is opportunistic. They made a couple big plays there at the end, which we really needed. You're right. You know, they are a bit younger than the offense, and the offense should feel like it has more responsibility in terms of playing with situational football and so forth. But, you know, the thing about the defense, they got a lot of talented players. I mean, all first and second round picks over there.
Right.
So it's not like they can't play. And playing against them in training camp, I know that the kind of plays they can make. So, you know, you're right. I think they, you know, not having quite the experience as the offense is one thing. You know, having the youth and the excitement, you know, it's a very fast defense that can make some plays, you know, and you know, I got a lot of confidence in those guys.
You do. Now, is there ever a divide on a team when the offense or one unit is, you know, much better than the other and or much more experienced or whatever, just putting up the results, and the other one is, you know, trying to find itself? I mean, do you ever, when you're together as a team, which I know isn't often during the week, but do you ever sense a divide where one unit is doing its job and the other one maybe not?
No, certainly not. And I think the important thing is, you know, as an offense, we know that we're going to need the defense to make some, you know, certain plays this season in order to help us win games. They know that we're going to need to make plays for them. And, you know, we don't keep running tabs of, all right, this, you know, this game's more credited to you guys, and, you know, this game's more credited to the offense. And that's not the way it works, because, you know, I tell you, in 2001 and 2003, 2004, I mean, we had great defenses.
Right.
You know, it wasn't, I wouldn't say we were prolific offenses by any stretch. But they, and they never did that. I think, you know, you really learn that being a part of the team is playing complementary football. And playing complementary is when they need the offense to make the plays to win the game. I don't care if it's 3-0 and you get the ball, you know, with 2 minutes left on the clock, they're expecting us to go down and score. And if it's 43 to 42, we're expecting them to, you know, stop the team from a game-winning field goal. So, you know, that's just the way the football is. Some days the offense has good days. Some days the defense has good days.
Tom, what does it say when you, as an offense, lose your most versatile weapon in Kevin Faulk, and yet you rack up 445 and 200 yards rushing?
Well, Kevin, I mean, nobody replaces Kevin Faulk. I mean, Kevin's one of the best players to ever put on a uniform for, you know, for our team. He's you know, everything you look for in a player, Kevin has. So, you know, he'll certainly be missed. And I said during this week, really it's the responsibility of all the players on the offense to pick up the slack, whether that's Hernandez, not just the guys at the running back position, but the other playmakers also. And I thought we did that. I thought we did a good job of that. I mean, 200 yards rushing and over 200 yards passing, I mean, that's a damn good day for an offense in terms of being balanced. And you know, I think that was one thing we did a really good job of, was staying balanced out there. And when we ran the ball, man, we were running it good. And when we threw it decently too. So, you know, it's got to be more of that. And we got to do a better job with some of those inconsistent drives where, you know, we really held ourselves back.
Obviously, rushing the football like that makes your job easier. How much did Woodhead know about this offense at 1 o'clock yesterday afternoon? I guess the answer is just enough.
Well, I tell you, he knew every. It was strange because, I mean, it's not like it's his rookie year. He's going to his third year, and he had a little familiarity with, you know, the way we call some things and so forth, because the Jets, when Mangini were there, used some similar terms. But at the same time, you know, he just came in, was there on Monday. He said, "All right, you know, give me the playbook." By Tuesday, he came in. I mean, he was pretty well versed. I'd love to have, I mean, believe me, it's not that easy either. So I'm not sure where he went to college. I know he's not like a Harvard kid or anything, but he did a hell of a job coming in there and to make those plays that he did. And those were huge plays in the game.
The no huddle looks very comfortable for you and your offensive teammates. Why not more of it when it works so well? I know you had 1-3 and out on the no huddle, but it seems to get the rhythm and the pace going where you look like you're more dangerous in the no huddle.
You're asking him? He wants to do it every down.
I know,
but
I'm asking why don't they do it all the time?
Sure. Well, you know, it's kind of diminishing returns, I think. You know, they get it. It's nice to always know that you can use it, but at the same time, you don't want to make it a pass-a-thon either. I mean, you've got to be able to, you know, bring your multiple tight ends on the field and run the ball at them and settle the game down, and then your play actions become more important. I mean, when you're in no huddle, it's, you know, it's spread open offense or short edges, so the pass rushers, you know, they really know what they're getting. And then the defensive players start getting a beat on the rhythm of the plays too. And you know, if you make a steady diet of it, then you know they end up kind of, you know, making some, eventually going to make a play, and I think it's always nice as a quarterback to know that you can always kind of have it in your back pocket, using it whenever you want, but at the same time, not doing too much of it where the defense gets a rhythm on what we're doing.
Hey, we know it's tough for a rookie quarterback in the NFL. We've gone over the guys who've struggled, you know, Peyton Manning, Troy Aikman. Is it easy for a rookie tight end? Because it sure looks it so far.
Yeah, well, I think that the tight ends we got are really, we've kind of put them in the mix from the first day they got here. It wasn't like, all right, guys, you know, you've got, like Taylor Price, for example, that he's got, you know, some older guys to really learn from. I mean, These young tight ends were expected to play right out of the box. So when they first got here, it was like, all right, guys, let's get ready to go. And we've been hard on them since the first day they got here. So they've really taken to that role and accepted the role and really been coachable. They're confident kids. Both Gronkowski and Hernandez have done, you know, a great job. And it's really added a lot to this offense.
Tom, I'm not the brightest or sharpest knife in the drawer, but I'll bet you changed the play on the Gronk touchdown. I thought I noticed that you were under center and then came out and took it in the shotgun. Was that a change play?
There was a little adjustment to the play, but Gronk made a hell of a catch, and it wasn't the best throw. I was kind of rolling out to the right and threw it, and it was a little bit behind him, but you know, he made a great catch. I tell you, he made a great catch late in the game too. On our sideline, which, you know, he's tall, so you just put the ball up in the air and he snatches it, and he's really able to make those plays.
Hey, when Randy caught his second touchdown, was there one too many Patriots in that area? Was that a little more crowded than you hoped for?
Yes, there was. There was, and Randy was talking about that before the game too. He's like, "Now I run the Viper here." And Brandon runs the Viper.
We're going to end up in the same spot.
Yeah, we might be. Don't worry about it. It won't happen.
Plus, there was an official in the way.
Yeah, I know. The official was there. The safety was there. There were two defenders. There was a team meeting back there.
But you threw it anyway. And I'm guessing that most quarterbacks see that. They see a receiver in the wrong place. And they just see that kind of crowd. They don't throw it. Is that just confidence in Moss? Or did you figure, you know, you'll take a chance because it is Randy and he can go up and get it?
Yeah, well, I knew there was some space there because, you know, I saw Randy break. And you know, Randy has a certain body language to him when he really starts pumping his arms and legs that he's running to an open spot. So there's a lot of trust that I have when I see that, and then I could just lay it up there. So it was an awesome play. It was an awesome catch to catch it in traffic like that. He had a big day. Those two touchdown catches were big catches.
Hey, I promised our listeners I would ask you this question. Please don't be humble and pretend you don't know if you do.
Okay.
You had a couple of milestones yesterday. Your third touchdown moved you past another Hall of Fame quarterback in the 19th place on the NFL's all-time touchdown list. Do you know who that was?
I have no idea.
You really don't?
I have no idea.
Steve Young.
Really?
And you, who's right in front of you for 18th place? George Blanda.
Really?
Now, you threw for 252 yards. That moved you into 28th place on the all-time passing yardage list. Passing, do you know who?
No.
John Brody.
These are all your guys. Bay Area guys.
These are Niners. Young's my guy.
Your father's idols.
I know.
So you really didn't know that?
I had no idea.
Now, do you think Randy knows that he needs 44 to catch
Jerry Rice?
Really?
Yeah. I'll bet Randy knows.
You know what?
A lot of touchdowns.
You guys are both Hall of Famers, but I got to tell you, Tom, Randy's even more of a Hall of Famer than you are.
Good. Well, I'm glad he is.
Yeah, it's only two guys with 150 touchdown catches, and he's only 33.
That's crazy.
Well, 33 and a half. He's a little older than you.
Yeah.
All right, Tom, here are your two nominations for BPNTD, Best Play Not a Touchdown.
Okay.
Third quarter, third and six, the quarterback tucks it, runs, slides, and gets all emotional on everybody with a first down signal.
And by the way, we just saw the replay. You could have gotten like two more yards on that if you just, you know, put your head down.
And the fourth quarter, third and five, Woodhead, a 16-yard run to set up Ben Jarvis Green Ellis' 7-yard touchdown. Which was the BPNTD in your mind? Or another one, maybe, if you like.
I'm saying Woodhead's run because that was, you know, we don't run the ball much on third down. And when you're able to run the ball from those sub formations like that, the defense is really focusing on coverage and who they're doubling and then the route combination that we're running. Then you pop a run in there, and Wood hits through the line of scrimmage and he gains 16 yards. And that drive really, to me, you know, that was a big drive for us. You know, I said getting in the huddle. I said, guys, this is what we've been talking about, man. This is the kind of drive we need to, you know, basically put the nail and go up two scores in the fourth quarter. And we went down the field, and you know, every guy contributed, and you know, and then Benny ran the ball in there in the red zone.
Yeah.
So that it's a great feeling for an offense, you know, and it gives you a lot of confidence each week knowing when we need it, we're gonna do it. And I think that's one thing that we took out of yesterday's game in the second half. When we need to score, we're gonna score and we're gonna end the game. And I think those are That's a big positive we can take moving forward.
You know, Tom, we weren't altogether thrilled with you calling out the fans last week or 2 weeks ago because you sort of empowered the most obnoxious fans to stand up and make all, you know, like old ladies with their walkers had to stand up just to see.
But
were you happy yesterday with the performance of the crowd?
Yeah, and I certainly wasn't, you know, trying to call people out or, I mean, you know, I guess I just made kind of an offhanded comment, but based on the first game, you know. But, you know, I'll tell you what, yesterday it was awesome. I mean, it really was. And I think that, you know, when you're an opposing team and you come into an environment and you can't hear and the communication's an issue, and I know that because there are certain stadiums we go to where we're like, listen, man, we, like the old RCA Dome, you know, in Indy, you couldn't hear anything, you know. And there's probably two or three plays a game where that ends up being an issue on the game that end up being big plays. I mean, whether it's a delay a game penalty or whether it's, you know, the offensive line can't handle a certain communication between them that lets a opposing pass rusher come free, or, you know, the quarterback to the coach on the sideline isn't getting the right communication. So it is so important. I mean, we've had great, last year we were 8-0 at home, not to say it has anything to do with crowd noise, we're 8-0 at home. You know, and we didn't play very well on the road. And I think there's something about our home stadium that is tough to come in and play. And when the crowd is really yelling and screaming like they were, you know, at the critical moments yesterday, that, you know, that's a big advantage for a team.
Tom, I hear in the background a very well-behaved Ben Jarvis Green Ellis Brady. you must have fed the boy
name
before you picked up the phone this morning. He seems okay.
I know. I tell you, that's why it's a 6:30 call now. It's not 9 o'clock anymore in the morning for me here. So once he's up, we're up.
So, hey, final question: Monday Night Football, is it different? Does it feel different other than the timing and, you know, not doing anything on Sunday?
Yeah, you know it does, and I think you know, I always enjoy Sunday games at 1, but I think as I've played more, I really enjoy those Monday Night games and Sunday Night games because, you know, they are. You know, special games, and you're usually playing a, you know, a big opponent, and you also know that it's kind of, you know, to see whether the guys on the team can rise to that kind of level of attention. I mean, it's not a playoff game certainly, but it's also, you know that there's one game being played right now, you know, how are we going to perform when there's one game being played and against a good opponent, you know, on the road? I mean, I think those are with a lot of buildup. I mean, that's a precursor for what kind of team you're all about. So if you perform well in those situations, you know, who knows what lies ahead for us.
Tom, we'll talk to you since it is Monday Night Football. We'll do breakfast with Ben Jarvis Green, Ellis Brady at 6:30 Tuesday morning, right?
That sounds good, guys.
All right, enjoy the
Thanks
game.
A lot.